Message today is entitled, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? You know, Mr. Rogers has always been one of my personal favorite people. And it wasn't even because he was, believe it or not, for those who don't know, ordained a Presbyterian minister. I'll give you a moment to take that in. Presbyterian minister. It wasn't even because I loved his show so much. As a personally, as a minister who works directly from a written script, who preaches directly from message that I pre-prepared, it wasn't even because Mr. Rogers was a perfectionist. And most folks don't realize that he actually disliked people straying from the written script for the show. He didn't like ad-libbing on his show because he felt like he owed it to the children to make sure that every single word on his show was thought out. The reason I have always loved him so much was because he worked so diligently at being a spiritual person. And for him specifically, that meant following the teachings of Jesus. He seemed to exude a loving spirit that was undeniable. And you got the feeling that that would be true no matter who you were. He was good people. His fame never actually went to his head. As a matter of fact, long after he had been doing very well for himself, he could still be seen every day driving himself to work in his old Chevy Impala. No kidding, it's a very old Chevy Impala. That car was actually the source of a story about how completely loved this man was, about how his loving spirit reached even the toughest souls. You see, according to a TV guide piece on him, one day that Impala was stolen from the side street near the TV station where he always parked it. Not surprisingly, when Mr. Rogers went and filed a police report, the story was picked up by basically every newspaper, radio, and media outlet around town. Now, amazingly, now get this, within 48 hours, that car was left in the exact same spot from where it was taken. Seriously. And there's actually more. With it was included an apology on the dashboard. And it read, "If we'd known it was yours, we would have never taken it." That man was loved. And before we delve into our scripture for today just a bit, let me share just one more Mr. Rogers story with you. It's another story about how his loving spirit was valued by so many people. See, once while rushing into New York for a meeting, no matter how hard he tried, he just couldn't catch a cab. So he and one of his colleagues decided that they would go take the subway. As the story is reported, the subway car was just packed with people. So he and his colleague sort of assumed that they wouldn't be noticed simply because of the sheer number of people on the car. But when the crowd spotted Mr. Rogers, they all simultaneously began singing, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor." Which, believe it or not, actually brings us back to our story of the Good Samaritan. Or more precisely, it brings us back to the question and the answer for which the story of the Good Samaritan was told. The question is asked of Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? To which Jesus replies, well, what does the law say? And Jesus gives what most of us would think is a pretty straightforward answer. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it seems like a straightforward answer, but the person asking the question, well, he's a lawyer. And he gets all sort of lawyer on Jesus. And he goes, okay, fine. But who is your neighbor? Now, I say he gets kind of lawyer-esque in his question back to Jesus. Who is my neighbor? But honestly, it's not being very fair to lawyers. It honestly is a question that most of us might have asked in one form or another. And I suspect that question wasn't asked because it was unclear who Jesus was saying was our neighbor. I suspect that it was asked because they didn't like the implication of who our neighbor might be. The implication of who it meant and how we are to treat them is a big part of why my mind so quickly and so naturally connected today's scripture with Mr. Rogers. You see, understanding who his neighbor was and how living it out and caring in a caring spirit that the Good Samaritan practices, that's what this story teaches us. Let me share with you another Mr. Rogers story. One time on a very fancy trip to a PBS executive's house, he heard that this limo driver that had already brought him here was going to have to wait outside for 2 solid hours. So Mr. Rogers actually insisted that the driver come in and join them, much to the chagrin of the exec. Now, because he ended up being actually quite flustered and bothered by it. Mr. Rogers invited him in anyway, and he joined them for their meal and their gathering and their meeting and everything. And after the party, on the ride back home, Rogers decided that he was going to sit up front in the limo so that he could continue his conversation with this man and learn more about him. Well, as they're driving along, he also learns that they're going to be passing by the gentleman's home. So Mr. Rogers asked if they could stop so he could just go meet their family. Now, according to the driver, it was one of the best nights of his life. The house supposedly lit up when they arrived. And Rogers played jazz piano and bantered with them late into the night. And from that night on, Mr. Rogers sent him notes to keep in touch with them for the rest of his life. And the lawyer asked, "But who is my neighbor?" Jesus responds by telling the story of how a person who was hated and somewhat villainized because of his religious sect, he shows how that person outperforms several well thought of religious people when it comes to caring for a man that he did not know. The implication is that your neighbor isn't just the people you know and those who are well thought of, but your neighbor is those in need, those who are hurt. And as the REM song goes, everybody hurts. So the logical extension of that thought is that everybody is your neighbor. The implication is that we need to learn to care for everybody, which conveniently is the original implication of the Jewish law to love your neighbor as yourself. That brings us back to the title of this message and the disposition of the person who originally wrote the lyric, "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" You see, as I mentioned at the very beginning of this talk, Mr. Rogers was a Presbyterian minister. And he understood very clearly the theological implications of the story of the Good Shepherd. I mean, the Good Samaritan. He understood it so much that we have a story after story after story about him living that out, that reality out in his own life. Even though he always sung it with a smile on his face, because of his theological training, he also understood what a challenging and almost subversive question, "Won't you be my neighbor?" really is. Biblically, to ask someone to be your neighbor is not asking them simply to be nice to you. It's asking them to see your woundedness. It's asking them to see how badly you hurt. The places where you're not everything you should be or want to be or are trying to be. And rather than love you in spite of those things, it's challenging them to love you because of those things. That is truly radical. Call to love people, not in spite of their issues, but precisely because of their issues, because they need to be loved. As Mr. Rogers once put it, I don't think anyone can grow lest they are loved exactly as they are now, appreciated for what they are rather than what they will be. As if that wasn't radical enough on its own, we are then asked to do that for everyone. Love them not because they are good or perfect or even particularly likable, but because they, like us, mess up, hurt, fall short, and are wounded and need to be loved. And it doesn't just stop there. At the very beginning of this talk, I went out of my way to say several times that it was Mr. Rogers' loving spirit, it was his loving spirit that connected him with so many people. I think that's very important to revisit because the point of Jesus' story, his answer to the question, who is my neighbor, is not just that you should act with caring towards those in need. It's that we should actually be caring towards those in need. It's not simply something we are to enter into begrudgingly, but simply because it's the right thing to do. It should be the disposition of our character. It should be the orientation of our souls. Our love for others should exude from our spirits. Now, at this point, it shouldn't be surprising that I have another Mr. Rogers story to tell you. Speaks to the point I was just making. Most people here have probably heard of Coco, whether you remember that you have or not. Coco is the Stanford-educated gorilla who could speak about 1,000 words in American Sign Language. What a lot of people don't know, however, is that Coco, this is true, was an avid fan of the Mr. Rogers show. Now, when Fred took a trip out to meet Coco for his show, he actually put it onto the show, not only did Coco immediately wrap her arms around him and embrace him, she did what she'd always seen him do on screen. She proceeded to take his shoes off. She knew that this was a loving person, not simply because she could understand a small amount of English, but because there was a loving spirit which exuded from his soul. So, not only should we respond lovingly to all people, our neighbors, precisely because they hurt, but that response, it should come from an honest place deep within our souls and not simply because we're told to do it. You really can't get much more radical than that, can you? Well, actually you can. You really can. You see, when our love of neighbor is that deep, that connected to our soul, it should deeply shape our behavior and how we respond to people when they mess up or hurt us or fail. Rather than leaping to accusations and anger and ire, we should default to understanding, encouraging, and forgiving. What I just said is so important for us as a people, as a community, as a church. I'd like to repeat it again. You see, when our love for neighbor is so deep that it is connected with our soul, it should deeply shape our behavior and how we respond to people when they mess up or hurt us or fail. Rather than leaping to accusations and anger and ire, we should default to understanding, encouraging, and forgiving. Not surprisingly, that's actually what love looks like. That's the radical question of, won't you be my neighbor? It challenges us to value each life. It challenges us to love them not in spite of their faults and their hurts and their shortcomings, but value them in those things. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that kind of unconditional love feels like? It is precisely the love that God has for you, and it is the love that God asks us to have for each other. Just imagine. Imagine being surrounded by a community, by a church that offers that kind of love. Imagine it. But then continue to create more of that kind of community right here at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant. By being that kind of person whose loving spirit exudes from their soul and is seen by all. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?